Hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How is your life going on and where is it heading to? It's already Thursday, so we are heading toward the weekend. It's already knocking around the corner and around the door. So it's time for us to have a proper show and let's have a quick look at it. First of all, if you can help me out and you know someone who's interested in advertising in the New York area, please leave a message because I try to get the show there or as a morning show on. And I would touch so many new people with great inspirational chats and all the great things. So simply send me a tweet. You can tweet me at Lodewijkhof or you can leave a message below on SoundCloud. What on today's show? We're gonna talk a bit about the investment decisions, what you need to do and need to know. There is a change happening at the oil majors and that's something that we need to have a look at. Then we're gonna have a look at Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. And then it's time to have, as my last comment, the tax reform, because it's major news and we need to look at it. And well, that's really important that we have a look at it because the tax reform is happening. And I have an interview with Meester Oosthout. He is a lawyer from the Netherlands. He has a history in banking. He was actually a banker, is a lawyer, and he started a vlog channel about personal and business development. So I thought it was a good reason to have a chat with him. So that's all on today's show. So I would say, let's get the profitable moment started. It happened. The United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. The people have spoken and created an unprecedented happening. This creates great investment opportunities. They are outlined in the Profitable Brexit Report. You can find it at hofprofit.com/profitablebrexit, and during the introduction week you receive a 50% discount. So join the highway to profitable Brexit momentum, hofprofit.com/profitablebrexit. So the investment decisions and what you need to do to make an investment decision properly. I mean, let me give you an example. Let's say you're gonna bake a cake, which is really popular due to the spin-offs of the British Bake Off and the Great Bake Off and all those things. Let's say that you're gonna make a cake. You need to have good eggs, you need to have flour, you need to have good ingredients. If the eggs you got are smelly and basically ready to be thrown away, there is a slight chance that you get a proper cake, but the chance is extremely high that you get a terrible cake. Another prime example is if you look at kids who are fighting. One kid will say this happened, and then, for example, a kid says, he hit me with a stick. Well, then what happened? I mean, you want to know the context. So that's what you need to do with before you make an investment. Check the context. What's the firm about? I mean, is it a company that sells petrol to airliners? Then it's really handy to know if an airliner goes down, because then there's a customer less. What's the company doing? How is it doing? And how is the share price doing? And is share really the thing that you need to go, or should you go for other things? Something that people don't really look at, but I think is really important to look at, are bonds. It's not really a retail investment thing. It's really tough to get in, but you should have a look at it. And what you should do is, what the great benefit from bonds compared to shares is, the company can decide not to pay dividends. That's fine, but if the company don't pay the interest on its bond, it's basically going bankrupt. So what's the company doing? Should you focus on prices, and are the costs of the missed opportunity also there? I mean, what's the turnover? What's the future turnover? If you are like the Dutch pro company in big problems, SBM Offshore, who is in corruption scandals, which in the oil business is basically standard. I mean, let's face the fact, they have only one competitor and their competitor is from Israel. And well, basically, if one company is in the corruption, the other one is not. So it's a bit of, they're both doing it. You want to score the deals. And let's face the fact, then you've got an African minister who gets $200 a year US, which is a lot of money in his country. And he's going to sign a contract worth $500 million. Yeah, well, the Chinese would say it like this. They know how to process an African minister. So simply process the minister for the proper thing. Now, you need to check it out, what's happening. But if a company is in big problems and they are heading with a cash neutral situation, so that they are no longer burning cash and not making cash, but they are sustainable and sufficient, well, in that case, then it could be an interesting investment to look. So check out the cash flow, check out the things that they are doing, and how is the business doing? And because there are a lot of things are changing. And what change are there? Is there a new kid on the block? I mean, a few years ago, Everyone thought that Elon Musk and Tesla were crazy, and now are they basically showing everyone who was needed to make an electric car the good way to go, the nice way to go. And they now let's show everyone how tough it is to get a real major scale up in the automotive sector, because let's face the fact, Tesla at this moment still fails to produce, because it seems to be really difficult to get mass production of cars. All the listeners love to making some money, but you will have to pay tax upon your money. But that's to change. You can save on your tax. Pay no tax, completely legal. Start earning more money so you can take care for your beloved ones, so you can travel visa-free. Get yourself the tax-free passport. Get yourself the starting point to a tax-free lifestyle. A lifestyle which is an ultimate freedom. Hofprofit.com/passport. I say Hofprofit.com/passport. Yeah, let's have a look at what all the oil majors are doing, because there's something changing at those firms. In the past, it was for them really easy to make money. You kick some sand out, the oil erupts into 50 meters into the sky, and you got money. I mean, for example, Shell alone, Royal Dutch Shell, is the second oil company in the world. It's one of the biggest firms in the world. It is also, well, at the moment, a company who, due to the Brexit, is looking at, shall we move our head office from the Netherlands to the UK, or from the UK to the Netherlands? And I sincerely hope, and that's really for the shareholders, I think that is best, that they get their business over to the United Kingdom, that they close down the Dutch head office, and because get out and leave. And at the same time, for Unilever, the Anglo-Dutch firm, it's also good to do the same, because, well, let's face the fact, the Netherlands failed in the competition. You have all types of government bureaucrats who make it tough to do things. And, well, the British, well, they know how to build an empire, so it's happening now. What you see at the oil majors, because all oil companies are doing it. I mean, it's Shell, it's British Petrol, it's our Total, Fina, Elf. They are all looking at what's happening, and they are all moving towards electric cars. So, although that I'm really not a supporter of electric mobility, definitely it's happening. I mean, those companies don't care about what people think about them. Those companies are companies who print almost money, and they are moving away from oil. They are moving into other fields. So there is a tremendous energy revolution going on, and I sincerely think that you should have a look, check it out, go for it, because it's all happening. And if you need a great starting point, then I would say hofprofit.com/innovative-energy. It's the innovative energy report, and it allows you to go away beyond the standard things and look a step behind and further. So check it out. Social media is here. Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Weibo, blogging, LinkedIn, Swan, Google+. But how to use them in your advantage? Get yourself the social media expert course. It's the smart point to use all social media in your advantage without burning all your time. Hofprofit.com/smm. I say hofprofit.com/smm. And Bitcoin broke the record, and it's one of the most trending topics around the world in the news, so it's all time to have a look at it. First of all, if you want to make Bitcoin profits, then I simply suggest that you check out hofprofit.com/crypto-profits, because there you will find the crypto profits report. And if you look at the big news that it is, what you see, most journalists talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They need to get in themselves. And you need to, it's time for you to take action yourself, because you're missing it out. There are really great things happening. I'm not really that positive about Bitcoin, and there are a few easy reasons for it. One, to go and buy something when it breaks a record high is really not a good moment. Secondly, it's not really a coin. Where can you spend it? I mean, it's tough to spend Bitcoin. The blockchain technology behind it is great, and it can really revolutionize the world, but on that side, you see that the European Commission decided to give all the fintech companies a big setback, because because most of the fintech innovations, they said, have to go through the big banks. And that's really sad, because I want to see the new firms who are taking on control and take over the systems. But let's get back to crypto, the cryptos and the bitcoins and all those things. It is an investment. That's all it is. It's a it's a speculative thing. It can go up. It can go down. Don't be so stupid to simply sell off your gold and go into the cryptos, because you should not do that. I mean, if you look at just some risk that you need to think about. What happens if the hype is over, or a new hack occurs, or people are starting with the new Bitcoin? I mean, there are so many things that you that can happen. But there are great ways to make money out of it. So simply check out hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits, because there you find a crypto profits report, and you will find a few companies who pay dividends. That is something that Bitcoin does not, and that you could be that are really into the crypto field, and that you can make money out of it. So let me know what you think about it. You can tweet and you can leave a comment, and I really hope I see you at hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits.
It happened. The United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. The people have spoken and created an unprecedented happening. This creates great investment opportunities. They are outlined in the Profitable Brexit Report. You can find it at hofprofit.com/profitablebrexit, and during the introduction week you receive a 50% discount. So join the highway to profitable Brexit momentum. hofprofit.com/profitablebrexit.
Let's look at the tax reform. It's something that Trump is doing, and it's one of the two things that if he can simply pass this, then his re-election is assured. At least that's, I strongly feel about this, because then at least from the he promised basically new jobs, and he promised the tax reform and to drain the swamp. Well, new jobs, all he need to do is get engaged in the Silk Road project, get money from that into the US, simply get in every state one factory or one distribution center opened, and you're already there. See the great investment that the Belgium State Postal Company did in the distribution of packages in a few states in the United States. So that's what they did with bpost. It's a great thing. Have a look at it. And no, bpost is, for what I know, not publicly traded. But let's get it back to the tax reform. And then the tax reform the Trump way. Because during the Obama administration, the GOP, the party that got Trump, but really don't like him, did a great job. They did everything to reduce government spending. They enforced a few shutdowns because Obama came with bad policy. So then you don't sign it, and it means that there's something lovely is going to happen. The government is not borrowing money. And don't forget, less government spending is easy and good for the people, because they don't have to steal it from the hardworking taxpayers. And that's why we actually should say that tax evasion is self-defense. But let's face it, I'm a Trump supporter, and I'm proud to be a Trump supporter. The tax reform that he proposed has really some bad things in it. And for me, the worst thing that I could find until now in it is the automatic increase in tax. And this is so bad that I have problems where to say or bad about it. Because an automatic increase in tax hikes would mean that no matter if you make more, that makes no difference. Because if you pay, for example, 20%, you go to 21 or 22. And this facilitates automatic more money for politicians to spend it on a method that makes totally no economic sense. And that's something that we need to have a look at. And you really think, are there great things that that government money is producing? And but the tax reform should have been used for is automatically reducing the tax hikes in the rates, or not hikes, rates. So simply say, for example, we get 1% off. Is the rate 35? Next year it's 34, then it's 33. And by taking it so, we take it down to, for example, 5 or 10%. And then, as a second thing to avoid a complete bankruptcy, which is already tough to avoid in the US, get it all out and start reducing and spending. So that means get rid of companies. Why is the US Postal in a government-run agency and a government from the government? Why not split it up? There are unused army bases and military bases. Sell them. Let people develop things with it. And is it because if you simply sell all the unused military bases, you could sell some land you have over, you could have empty, unproductive facilities that start getting productive and could be used. What if in area with a high unemployment, the closed base could be sold for a new distribution center and a few thousand people would get a job? That's all the way that we have to go for. And What they so that's something that they should get out. Be stop fighting a war and skip. This is one of the things that I really always get surprised that there still is in the US. Skip the helium board. And what you need to realize with the tax hikes, they approve it now once. It's now in the tax reform debate, so no one talks about it. And after it, they can simply say, yeah, well, we proposed it then, we agreed on it then, so that's it, and we are there. So I would say, well, that's on the tax reform. What do you think about the Trump tax reform? Do you agree with me that Trump is one of the best things that America could face, or that he is one of the first things that America could face? I look forward to hearing back from you. Leave me a tweet via @LowerbackOff or leave a comment below on SoundCloud. Let's get it on to the last and final segment of the show. It's a lovely interview with Mr. Rosout, and it's easy. What do you need to secure your success?
Thank you, Lodewijk.
It's an honor to have you. For our lovely listeners, could you introduce yourself? And then,
Yeah, so my name is Robert Oosthout. I'm a Dutchman by... Even stoppen.
Ja, is goed. Ik knip een plak wel in het interview. Don't worry.
So I'm a Dutchman. I was born in 1954 in January, and professionally I've been busy the last 31 to 32 years as an attorney at law and a mediator. And recently I am repositioning myself as a coach and trainer and master facilitator.
Okay, so after your career of 30 years in law, why did you decide to reposition yourself as a trainer? Because we always keep suing each other.
Yeah, the point is, actually I want to be a trainer because that way I can be of service to more people at one time. As a lawyer, you mostly are working for one client at a time. And that's a limit you can imagine. So in terms of being of service to other people, it's a limit, but it's also a limit in terms of income, turnover and income.
Yeah, basically a few years ago we shared some books with each other and we discussed the difference between having a business and a job. And basically for our listeners, what we agreed upon was you have a business when it makes money and it grows higher than inflation, and you don't have to do anything for it. If you have to do anything for it, then it's your job, and you can have a really high paying job, but it's a job. If you go, it's gone, like the podcast or a one-man law firm or most jobs are just for our listeners, just in a short quick side thing. So you became a trainer and you started your own vlog and video channel.
Yeah.
Why did you go for a video channel?
Because in the training of Master Facilitation Program, Blair Singer introduced us to Justin Teo. And Justin Teo is a Chinese young man from Malaysia or Singapore, I'm not sure. Or Australia, actually. And he is a well-known authority in this domain. So he trained us in the distinctions of what you need to make a video with your iPhone or your telephone. And that's why he started with all these distinctions like lightning and distance and all those kind of things, and that's what I have shown you. But the point is, you get better when you start to practice. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm uploading my videos to the page, to the Facebook page of Master Facilitation Program, which is a closed page. But I also sometimes upload it to my own Facebook page. So it's going to be part of making a brand for myself.
And you would say that making a brand for yourself is the key in the coming century and the coming 50 years.
Yes, I think so. Because online, it's more and more visual. Mm-hmm. So video is has become very important. And if you are experienced in that domain, then you can sell better. Yeah.
Okay. So that's it. And are you using your background as a lawyer in your coaching practice and in your video network?
Yes, of course. What I do is, you were referring to these books of Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes.
Last week I did a meetup and I had five guests, and this was actually my first meetup in this context. Mm-hmm. And I showed them the difference between being in all four different quadrants of the Cashflow Quadrant. So what you were referring to is that at the right side of the Cashflow Quadrant, we have business owners and investors, and actually those are the real business owners because they use legal entities to build their businesses instead of being a sole proprietor who works in the business rather than on the business.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. I think that 9 out of 10 people who go to the Chamber of Commerce and register their own company and begin their own practice, mainly as freelancer, will disagree with you. But on the other side, 9 out of 10 companies and startups fail within the first 12 to 20 months.
True.
So on that side, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And if you, out of personal interest, why did you not start your own podcast to start talking with people compared to video?
This is not it's not a matter of that I don't want to. Mm-hmm. The point is, this was the first thing that came up. So I take whatever comes up and follow it along the way. And if at a certain point there's somebody that knows everything about podcasts and they bring them in, or we will bring them in, then we can learn from the person. That's not an issue. I like to do that.
Okay, just wondering, because when I started this web shop and a podcast a year ago, I was just thinking, shall I also do a vlog? Yes or no? And ultimately, after one recorded interview, I decided to do vlogging because that one interview made me three big freelance jobs, which is always handy.
Yeah.
It's still on YouTube, but it's a Vincent Avers interview. It's still on YouTube, so it's really interesting.
And okay.
But I was, so your coaching and your law practice is mainly about helping people to achieve their goals. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, how I say it is that as a lawyer, you often help people with their challenges. But when that's done, a lot of times people go elsewhere. I find it more empowering to help people to reach their dreams and goals. Mm-hmm. In other words, to support them in living their dream life. But of course, to be able to live your dream life, you need to be free. And it starts, as far as I'm concerned, with financial freedom, because money is still a means of exchange in our society. So that's why I think it's important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you talked about achieving financial freedom. How would you determine financial freedom?
Well, how I determine financial freedom is exactly the same way as Robert Kiyosaki does, and it's about not needing to work anymore and still being able to live the life of your dreams. So that means your monthly cash flow from investments will pay you the income that you need to pay for your expenses, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a different approach than most people say. Most people would say that you just need an amount between the 20 and the 60,000 euros, because we're both in the Eurozone area, and then you're financial free, which I always consider an interesting point of view, because I don't need a big amount of cash. Give me every week of some money and I will be much more happy with it.
The point is, if you have an amount of, let's say, 60,000 euros or dollars per year, that will only pay you for that year, and then the money is gone. So yeah. Where does the rest come from? So you should create
a pipeline?
Cash machine, a money-making machine. Yep.
So basically, you have to grow your own money tree.
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, as far as Robert Kiyosaki describes it, he says, listen, the rich create their own money. That's not real money. It's about how to invest in real estate in such a way that it will pay you the mortgages of the houses that you rent out and so on. That's what he calls good debts. Compared to bad debts are those debts that cost you money every month, like your own mortgage, because you're still living in that house that isn't paid off, mm-hmm. or the lease of your car, those kind of things.
Okay.
And that brings me to another subject as well. I mean, I also showed people in the meetup what the difference is between poor people, middle-class people, and rich people by using the profit and loss statement and the balance sheet drawn by Robert Kiyosaki in his book Rich Dad Poor Dad, mm-hmm. To show them that poor people, middle-class people, and rich people think totally different about money, and as a result of that, they behave differently. So poor people, let's say someone that's depending on the state for its income, mm-hmm. Can only with that money pay for their rent and their clothes and their food, and then at the end of the month, most of the time, the money is gone. Middle-class people have a similar way of dealing with money. The only thing is, because they earn a lot more, they often have their own house, so they have a monthly mortgage they have to pay. And they have this lease of the car they bought, or lease actually. And that means that their structural costs are a lot higher than those people that have hardly anything. So the people that have hardly anything, if they have a financial...
they win the lottery or something like it?
Yeah, then they have a bigger chance to become financially free than the people in the middle class. And it's a system, it's created that way. Mm-hmm.
So what's the best way to beat the system and join the group of rich people that...
Well, I think you should learn the way the rich deal with these things. So rich people teach their children how to build a cash flow generator. You could think about buying houses that you can rent out or invest in a company so that you buy shares and get dividends, or you could think about royalties after having produced a book or a film or a song, those kind of things. Could be anything. Mm-hmm. A software program.
So basically focus on the return in cash flow and not on the job money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like that's the reason why I started my web shop.
Yeah. And by the way, there's another thing, and that's probably difficult for advisors like lawyers and fiscal advisors and accountants, but also doctors. Mm-hmm. Most of them are paid by the hour. That's a system that enslaves you, mm-hmm. because if you're not paid for the hour, then you're constantly running around for new clients.
Yeah.
So that's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. At the moment, if I look at my cash flow, it's mainly coming from inheritance and sales of reports. And in the time part, it's just, hire me for the hour. I will do almost everything you want. Just pay the bill.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see, because I had a few days ago, I had a debate with a guy. He's a supermarket manager at a regional supermarket.
Yeah.
And he was talking about he had to go start investing because Well, he's basically thinking that his regional supermarket is not really going to thrive well in Eindhoven, which is the understatement of the year, I think.
Okay.
Now, I saw the annual turnover figures. With two supermarkets, less than a million turnover in a year, that's not good. That's not good. Even Sligo can do better at it.
Yeah.
But we were talking about it, and I gave him the example that I just released, or last week I released a tax-free passport report.
Mm.
And I was just saying, yeah, look, last night two people bought it.
Yeah.
I was sleeping. And two people decided to pay me almost $40.
Yeah. So while you were sleeping, you were earning money.
Yeah.
That is what you're saying. Yeah.
That's because in Dutch we have the saying, slapen rijk worden. In English, you would say it's getting rich while you're sleeping. It's the way it should go, and take it literally.
Yeah.
So, and if you, how many lawyers are and professionals who higher ranking advisors? Because doctors, accountants, lawyers, are they are not cheap if you buy them for the hour. How many are...
Sorry? I don't understand what you're asking.
Oh, I was getting to the question. I was just... first, I was making the point that most lawyers, accountants and doctors are not the cheapest people if you pay them by the hour. And are you aware of other innovations in the legal, accountancy or whatever sector in that field that people are doing something different? Because...
Most dislike bankers. I mean, in my opinion, the banks are technically bankrupt nowadays, but they still exist, and they are repositioning themselves to be able to still earn money.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for lawyers, accountants, etc. The point is, it's like Ajit Bakas told us years ago. He said, "Listen, be prepared. Within 10-15 years, you'll only work 1.5 days per week." For the same amount of money that you're earning now, so that's not a bad thing. The only thing is, we're all aware of the fact that when you don't work, you spend more money. So that's a big challenge for people.
Well, I would simply say that people need to not go work 1.5 hours a day a week, but simply keep working 5 days a week and do something that you really love to do.
Exactly.
And then you have something to do, you keep yourself busy, you can't spend the money. And you are making more money because...
The point is, most people aren't trained in the distinctions, what it means to be thinking of how you want to create your life and your future. I can show you that because if people are sent away by their companies to go on pension leave, It was until recently that after several years, most of them had died. So in the early days, let's say the 50s and 60s, people were not older than 68 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they get over 80. So the problem is that at the end, we don't have the money to sustain them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all a lot more healthy, but the point is we haven't thought about how to sustain this whole development.
And the interest, what I consider the interesting part is that I had once a debate with an editor of the local newspaper here, and we were talking about his retirement investments, and he is was in the Wegener retirement fund.
Yeah.
Our lovely listeners was in a. Owner of newspapers, part of the press group, and he was talking about the great returns that they were making with their retirement fund, and I could simply point out that an average savings account at a bank was better off financially, and that's already awful as an investment, but he was a bit not really happy, he was really grumpy, he was shocked about it actually, because he was just thinking...
I know. Nowadays, a lot of people are investing in cryptocurrency, for instance. If you have invested in Bitcoin at the moment, knowing that they will only create 21 million Bitcoins, then I think you're very well off because people like Warren Buffett and Donald Trump and companies like Amazon and Facebook are all investing in Bitcoin, and that drives up the prices immensely. So This, by the way, is not an investment in cash flow generating investments, but still, if you want to invest and make more money than on your bank account, that could be a possibility. And this is not financial advice. I mean, I'm not a financial advisor, so. Don't believe a word I say, try it out for yourself.
Now, what I always say to people, especially after we had a lovely penny stock interview, companies were named, really nice,
yeah.
Go check, do your research, check the management yourself.
Yeah,
if you don't like a company that's active in the diamond field, please don't put a penny into it. It's your money, try it out, doesn't make sense.
It's like Warren Buffett said, he always said, listen, I'm not going to invest into a branch or a company that I don't understand. So if you don't understand what's going on there, don't invest in it.
It's something that a lot of people don't listen by. But I want to go back with you to something you said a few minutes ago. You talked about that the banks are technical bankrupt. Can you explain that?
The point is, in 1971, Richard Nixon terminated the Bretton Woods Agreement. Up until that time, the money was backed up by gold, as you know, gold bullion. And so what he actually did, he ruined our financial system. And as a consequence of that, you have had in recent years in the United States all those big bank bailouts and insurance companies that that hasn't helped at all, because 20 years later they came again, and now in Europe we are seeing the same. So I think we have created a huge problem, and even those big economists and bankers and governments don't know how to deal with it. It's like money. I mean, everything in our life is created out of words, so money is also a created conversation. But the point is, actually our money system doesn't exist anymore. And it's also because of the fact that banks have used this fractional reserve banking, or multiplier, or however you will call it, up to the max. In a way that they have profited by it, but at the same time, a lot of other people were ruined in the process. So that's not the way to do this, because then a small amount of the people will get very rich, and the rest of the world will suffer. So. I'm not against using the multiplier, but you can do it more
take it easy.
Careful.
Yeah.
So instead of using a factor of, let's say, 50, use 10 or 25.
Mm-hmm. But the banks will say that they go bankrupt, especially now we have artificial low interest rates.
Yeah, the point is, look at the Arabic world. There they have banks too, but you know in the Quran it's forbidden to ask for interest. So it means that you can do banking in different ways, and I'm not saying one way is better than the other. The only thing is, how can we do it effectively? How can we finance companies in such a way that they will create wealth for people? That's the whole thing. And not only for the banks. I mean, the bankers earn money because they're using money that they have taken from the capital markets. So they need to earn some money. Not only to pay for their costs, but also to pay the shareholders. But still.
Okay. Interested to say about the banks. So you will see then a complete meltdown of system. And that's going to be interesting to see, because we are both Dutch. I have a double passport, I'm not sure about you. And but we in the Netherlands, yeah. So the biggest bank, ING, was I believe the second or third bank and the fifth insurance company in the world. Was bankrupt. Mm-hmm. ABN AMRO, biggest bank in the Netherlands, yeah. Biggest in Europe, one of the biggest in Europe, bankrupt.
Yeah.
Is it interesting to see what's happening and all?
No, they know that this is the case, and they're not gonna tell anybody, because if you tell people that the banks have gone bankrupt and that we should bail them out, then the whole thing starts over again. And the plan of my client that I was just discussing, mm-hmm. create a solution for this problem, because this way you can bring in private investors, and this way you can solve the banking problem, the problem of the refugees due to climate change. You can support the southern European economies that are a bit weak.
The statement of the week, a bit. Okay. Yeah. One thing about the banking that you were talking about, I will leave your client case that we discussed earlier out of it. What do you think about the banks Tencent, Weibo and Alibaba?
Alibaba and what?
Tencent
what's the other
and
one?
Weibo. It are three Chinese tech companies, and they have a banking
yes.
license. And they are
okay. it's actually the same. That's what's happening with Amazon and Facebook. They have a banking license as well. I said already years ago that when Facebook, now they have more than 1 billion
daily users.
Yes,
they have over 2.5 billion account holders.
If they would start a bank now, then all banks would immediately go bust.
Mm-hmm. So I would say if I was Facebook, go for it, because
yeah.
banking, especially at this moment, is really easy money making money. You get some money in, you put the money that your profits you put on the capital markets, give them to the German government and the Finnish government to borrow.
Yeah, but you're aware of the fact that if you have a banking license, you have to comply to all kind of regulators and all those kind of things. So it's not that easy.
I partly agree with you and partly not. To give you an idea, my personal banking relationship is with a bank in Germany. It's called
yep.
F26, a fintech company. Most of my webshop payments are going over Ireland. PayPal is also
yep.
a bank.
Yep.
And the concept of yep. license and regulation is really going to go out. And you see that I'm now bringing my company's banking from HSBC to ICBC, where they're going to manage it for me over
yep.
Luxembourg. It's all
okay.
being funny. That you see that in the ID, especially with the banking license, I mean, people were talking about the license, every year needed a license in every country. I don't care that
yeah.
PayPal is in Ireland, they can be in Luxembourg, they can in Eindhoven, for my part, they go sit in Zimbabwe, I don't care.
No, neither
it's
do
a good
I.
Service. So, is there any final comment of your listener, for the listeners, and where can we find your videos?
Videos are at the moment, on Facebook, but when the quality is up to
mm-hmm.
standard, I'm going to post them on YouTube.
Okay, that's good.
At some time in the future, they will be in on YouTube, and we'll stay in contact, so I'll tell you when they will
And then
be
I want you to come back in as a guest if you want, so then we can talk about it and
yeah.
try to get some boost for your YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, any final
yeah.
word for the listeners? Something?
The point is, like I said, I'm a stand for people to be free, and if people are willing to look in this possibility, I would say, listen, if in your area or in your country you can attend the Millionaire Mind Intensive by T.R. Becker, just do so, because this will give you a huge leverage.
Okay, then I will say
yeah.
thank you, and we will leave it over here. Okay.
Okay.
Have fun.